Let's begin our service opening our Bibles at John chapter 6. John the 6th chapter. I wish everybody could have had the week that I've had and the blessing that I've had this week and our classes with our young adults. I just am just kind of riding on cloud nine. This has been such a good week, and I thought we've had a very good week, and I'm so thankful that Marvin's come made this week a whole lot easier for me. I don't have to preach again tonight. I'm so thankful. All right, John chapter 6. We'll just read a few verses beginning in verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And it is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be all taught of God.' Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And we'll end our reading there. Good evening. Let's turn in our red hymnals to page 359. "My Faith Looks Up to Thee."
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me when I pray, take all my sin away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly Thine. May Thy rich grace impart my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As Thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to Thee, Your warm and changeless be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be Thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away. Lord, let me ever stray from Thee aside. When ends life's transient dream, when death's whole sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul.
Turn back to page 272, The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. darkness veils His lovely face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let's open our Bibles together to Mark chapter 5. Read the first 20 verses of Mark 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and seen him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told how it befell on him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Can you imagine what a request? Heal this man, and they ask him to leave. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but he said to him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for this opportunity to gather together. Lord, that you've brought us. Lord, it's no accident that we're here this evening. You've gathered your people and you've brought us here this evening. Lord, bless us with your presence. Lord, we thank you that you've brought our brother Marvin this way. Lord, bless him as he stands in this place. Take that which you've laid on his heart. Lord, enable him to speak freely to us. Lord, give us ears to hear. Lord, bless us with a hearing ear this night. Lord, we'd not hear just the words of a mere man, but Lord, you'd be pleased to speak to your people. Bless us with your presence, we pray thee. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our homes. Lord, we thank you for all that your hand has provided. Forgive us. Forgive us when we murmur. Forgive us when we complain against thy providence. Lord, teach us in all things to look to thee, to rest in thee, to give thee thanks and praise thee. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for those who serve in our military, Lord, those who are in harm's way, Lord, that you would protect and keep. Lord, we pray for this church, Lord, that you would continue to bless this place with the sound of the gospel. And Lord, in all places where thy people are gathered together, Lord, bless your gospel. Bless the preaching of your word. Now again, we thank you for your many blessings, but above all things, we praise thee and give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we desire to know more of him. Bless us to know the Savior. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen.
We have a treat this evening before Brother Marvin comes to preach to us. Amber Jennings is going to sing us a special accompanied by her brother-in-law, Isaac Floyd. Amber attends the congregation there at College Grove Baptist Church, or Grace Church, excuse me. Chris Cunningham is the pastor. But her great claim to fame is that she's Marvin Stoniker's granddaughter. That's her claim to fame. And we are very glad she's here. Hope she's going to be back and sing for us often now that she's got a reason to come visit. So I'm very much looking forward to this. You come sing for us now.
Like a river, attend.
believe I'd have to say about that song, every verse is my favorite verse. That is such a good song. Well done. Thank you so much. Well, our speaker tonight needs no introduction. Pastor Marvin Stonecker of the Katy Baptist Church. Brother Marvin is one of my very, very dearest friends. I just cannot tell you how I treasure his friendship and his fellowship, and I have greatly looked forward to tonight to getting to hear the message the Lord laid on your heart. So you come and preach it to us.
It is so good. It's so good to be with you this evening. I can say truthfully, as Brother Frank just said, we are good friends. For Janet's wife, I'm so thankful for this congregation. It's always an honor to be able to be here with you. I'm so thankful what the Lord's done, raised up the gospel and kept it in this place. As Amber was singing, Isaac was playing, I was just thinking, here's a young man that I'm so thrilled, I'm so thankful. I mean, this was my first grandchild to ever perform a wedding for. I mean, a grandchild. Getting old. I afterwards, and I meant this just so affectionately. Just before that, I'd come up to Isaac and just stood there and just looked at him. He stood his ground, just looked right back at me. He did. I just looked at him. I reached over and touched him on the left shoulder. And I touched him on the right shoulder. And I said, "You may now call me Papa." And he did. I thank the Lord for you, Isaac. In that passage, Eric, that you read, right after I went to Katy, and out of that passage, that demoniac that was healed of that legion of demons, he wanted to go with the Lord. And the Lord told him, he said, "No." And Brother Scott, out of that passage that I'm about to mention right now, Brother Scott told me something. Frank, this is a good thing for us all to remember. He told me, he said, "There's going to be times that you're struggling to get a message." And he said, "All of us go through that." He said, "But I want you to remember one thing. Remember what the Lord told the demoniac of the Gadarenes. When he asked if he could go with the Lord, he said, 'No, you go home and you tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you.'" And old Brother Scott told me that, and I remember that. Just, you tell men what great things God's done for you. That's a good subject, always a good subject. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Chapter 22. Proverbs 22. I've been going through the book of Proverbs now for 10 years. And I'm in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. Been trying to go through this verse by verse. And this is a passage of Scripture that has been a great blessing to me. And I pray that the Lord might be pleased to bless it to us tonight. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 declares this truth. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, I'm sure that this passage of Scripture is one that every believing parent, one that is absolutely concerned with the well-being and the eternal security of their children would desire to hear. They want to know, they want to understand, and they want to witness the fruit of this promise and to have some comfort in what it says. Now, this scripture is one with some great instruction. Now, you listen to this instruction. Train up a child in the way he should go. Inspire that child. Place a quality within that child. You train up that child in the way that he should go. Now, when you look at that wording, train up a child. You look that up, and here's what that word has to do with. And we have a marginal reading there for training. It says, catechize. Well, actually, when you look the word up, it has to do with the mouth. And you'd say, well, it means to speak something. Well, no, not exactly. That's not what it means. What it actually means is give them a taste for, is what it actually means. To give them a taste for. You train up a child in the way that he should go. You give them a taste for. And then it's a passage that gives some future assurance. If you will do that, comfort concerning that training. And it's got an absolute promise of success. Now I want you to listen to the wording. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Didn't say that he might not depart. You train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart. He will not depart. Now, that passage of scripture right there is one that can be very, very perplexing to many believing parents who read that passage of scripture and they truly want to know. I want to know what that passage of scripture is saying. I want to understand that passage of scripture. And they have done all that they could possibly do to obey that passage of scripture. They want to be obedient. They want to be honorable before Almighty God. They want to raise up their children in the way they should go. And so here's what they've done. And they've done the right thing. They have brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They did not leave their children to their own carnal thinking, where I've heard parents say, well, I want my child to be able to experience some things and leave them. They didn't do that. A believing parent knows what's going to happen. You leave a child, like Brother Scott said one time, he said, you can't be telling people these things. You'll confuse them. Scott said they're born confused. They're already confused. No, they did not leave their children. They did the right thing. They brought them and they had them under the sound of the gospel. And they disciplined them according to these scriptures when they were disobedient. And they prayed that the Lord would bless his word to their understanding and call them out of the darkness of sin and unbelief. And only to watch them so many times They come up to 18 years old, 20 years old. They get out of college or something like that, and they go off, and they don't come. They quit coming, and they rejected the truth that the parent kept them under, and they prayed for them. They had them. They had them in services, and they did not leave them to themselves. How many times possibly a child would leave this world, have never made profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that parent knew that that child left this world without a priest to answer, without a mediator. How many times have we read in the scriptures concerning this very thing? Adam and Eve had two boys. They had a Cain and an Abel. David, he had a Solomon and an Absalom. And Isaac had a Jacob and an Esau. And I don't doubt for one second that these parents taught their children the gospel. But the end was so different. Now that, you think about what this passage of scripture is saying. You train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from him. Well, if left to ourselves, feeling that we have somehow failed, we've done all that we could possibly do, that passage of scripture, if we begin to look at ourselves only, and that happens to be the scenario where we have a child or know of a child that didn't, they left this world without knowing the Lord. The sting of guilt and sorrow is all we've got. We'll blame ourselves, thinking that somehow we failed. Well, knowing that God's word is sure, there's no doubt heaven and earth are going to pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Let's consider this passage of scripture in the light of the glory of Almighty God, and may the Spirit of God give us some understanding on this scripture. Now here's what it says. Train up a child. Instruct him, as I said before. Give him a taste for. Give him a taste for. Teach him the truth. Put in his mouth and give him a taste. But somebody said, I've done that. No. No, here's where we've missed it. We don't have the ability to give our children a taste for. You know, you heard this, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can bring your children under the sound of the gospel, and that's absolutely right. You can pray for them, and we ought to and need to and must. We can bring them where the word of God is faithfully set forth. Instruct them. Teach them the responsibility of walking, but we cannot catechize or put a taste in a dead heart. We cannot make a dead heart have a savor for Christ. I told someone one time concerning this, I told him, I said, I don't like boiled okra. I don't like it. And I, to this day, when I said that, I thought about when I was living in central Louisiana, my dad had a bowl of black-eyed peas. I can still see it. It was sitting right there on the kitchen table there. And he had some boiled okra, Frank, and he had it laid on it, and it was kind of crisscrossed and all that, and he cooked it. And he cut that, and he'd stick that, and he'd go, and it would be a slime. And I thought, I don't like that. I don't like the taste of it. Taste this, Marvin. It's good. Dad, I don't like it. I don't like the taste of it. I just don't have a taste for it. Train up a child. Give him a taste for what is required for a child. And the Lord has children. What is required that a child, one of God's children, what is required for him to have a taste for the gospel? Let me tell you what's required. First of all, Almighty God must love that child from before the foundation of the world. He must have given that child into the hand, the security, must have chosen him in Christ. He must have laid the responsibility of that child's eternal well-being upon Christ himself. And Christ must have, assuming the responsibility, been made flesh and come into this world, and on the behalf of and for the glory of the Father, lived for and died for, laid down his life for that child. And then in the process of time, the Spirit of God must come and cross the paths with that child and remove a heart of stone and give him a new heart, a new mind, a new will, a new love, and give him a taste for. And now, by giving him life, he tastes the Lord, that he's good. And he grants unto that child an understanding. And he's trained. He trained him and has given him a taste for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant that has, according to Jeremiah 31:3, that has been everlastingly loved. I know, according to Ephesians 1:4, God's children have been chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, unto the Father, unto himself, sheep of whose, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, was made sin and bore their guilt and put away the debt that they owed to God's law, and regenerated by the power and grace of Almighty God and robed in the righteousness of Christ. That's what's required to train up a child. And we don't have the ability to do that. Do you know what, when I say train up a child, do you know what I could just go ahead and say that that's equal to? Salvation is of the Lord. Because I can't train up a child. I can't give them a taste for it. And I know that that scripture is emphatic. The Lord is going to have to give them life from above. They must be born again. Therefore, only God can train up a child. Only God can do that. I can't. I can pray for them. I can bring them here, the gospel preached. I can encourage, read the scriptures to them. Got a little granddaughter back in West Virginia. You try to read the scriptures to her. She don't want to hear that, does she, baby? She don't want to hear that. You know what I mean? She wants to play, I can't give her, I can't train her. How can I give her a taste for this? The Lord's going to have to. But here's what I know. If Almighty God in power and grace, mercy and compassion crosses their paths, the Lord can open their hearts, just like the Lord opened up the heart of Lydia. And she was there. She was hearing Paul preach, but when God Almighty opened her heart, then she attended. She had a taste for it now. He comes to Paul and she said, "You count me worthy. Would you come to my house and preach this to my family too?" Why'd she say that? Well, she had a taste for it now. You that know him, you that know the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. Before, you'd heard the gospel before. You'd heard the truth preached. I've told this story so many times, I probably told it here. That's okay, I'll tell it again. My youngest daughter, Becca, we were at Bob Coffey's house, Bible school, years and years ago. And Becca came to me one night. She said, "Dad, would you baptize me?" And I said, "Yeah." "Yeah." "Why?" "I want to know why." And she said, "I grew up hearing what you said." And she said, "I understood it. I understood exactly what you were saying." And she said, "I could give a good argument. I could give a good argument between Arminianism and Calvinism. I knew the difference. I knew the difference. I knew if somebody was saying something. And I knew whether it was right or wrong." But she said, "I just didn't have a heart for it. I didn't have a taste for it." But she said, "I believe the Lord saved me. And it's given me a heart for Christ. And I believe it. And I want to confess him." I said, "Becca, that's the best explanation I've ever heard in my life." I told her, I said, "I understand communism. I can give you a good argument between communism and capitalism. But I'm not a communist. I don't want to be. I don't have a taste for that. If I did, I'd be a communist. I don't have a taste for that. Train up a child." John 6:45. It's written in the prophets. It's what you just read. "And they shall be all taught of God." That's how a child is trained up. They're taught of the Lord. "Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me." Who are these they? "And they shall." It's God's kids, God's elect, God's children. The Lord is going to train up his children. He's going to give them a taste for Christ. He's going to give them a taste for the truth. They're sons of God, sons of Abraham, the elect. God spoke of Abraham and his children, Genesis 18:19. And this is what the Lord said, "For I know him that he will command his children, his household after him, they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." That mean all of Abraham's natural children, they would all, no, he's talking about spiritual children. The Lord told some Pharisees, some Jews, that they were saying, "You know what, we're sons of Abraham." The Lord speaking of spiritual sons of Abraham said this. They answered and said unto him, "Abraham, if Abraham is your father, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." What was the works of Abraham? He believed God. There was a work of faith. There was a labor of love. There was patience of hope in Christ. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, what's the way he should go? Well, he should go after the way. The Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way." You train up a child in the way he should go. And obviously we know now, as I've said before, we don't have the ability to do that. If I had the ability to give my children, my grandchildren, if I had the ability to give them a taste for Christ, All I do is brag on it. And the scripture says, Frank, they're not born of blood. They're not born into it. They're not born by the will of the flesh. They're not born by will of... That's all I do. I glory in what, you know, I don't know what y'all did for y'all's kids and grandkids. Let me tell you what I did for mine. That's right. If y'all was as spiritual as I was and could train up your children like I did, no. You train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, when he's aged, that's what it means. Listen to this. He will not depart from it. Now this is only true one way. As I said a moment ago, that salvation is of the Lord. That's the only way that this is emphatic. And this is emphatic. You train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not turn aside. He will not reject that which has been taught, that for which he's been given a taste for. If someone says they have a taste for, what if they do leave? Well, they went out from us because they were not of us. But had they been of us, surely they would have continued with us. No, this is emphatic. This truth is given to God's elect. This is the promise. This is the truth of God's word. It's given to those that's been everlastingly loved and redeemed and regenerated, sealed, taught, kept by God, trained up and instructed by God by the Holy Spirit. They've been sealed and they're kept. That's the only reason that they don't depart. If we weren't kept by the Spirit of God, what would we do? We'd leave. I think about Peter. After the Lord is raised from the dead and the Lord met with him, first time Thomas wasn't there. Came back a week later, Thomas was there. Thomas said, unless I see him, I won't believe. He did see the Lord. After that, Peter said, I go a fishing. You know this. You've been taught this by your pastor. What was he saying? I quit. I'm done. And the other says, we go with you. Why didn't they quit? Because they were children trained up. And when they were old, they were not going to depart from it. God's going to keep them. That's the only reason that they didn't leave. These have been loved of God, placed in Christ, given to him. The Lord says, they're in my hand, my Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck them out. But in closing, I want to share something with you. Look back at Proverbs 22:6. This is so sweet. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Now, everything that I just read to you, if you look this up, and you'll notice that this is in the book of Proverbs. Now, I can tell you, if you want to look up all of those words that we just read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. All of those words are written in Hebrew. They're all written in Hebrew. You can get you a good, you get a Blue Letter Bible is a great, great one to look this up. Strong's will tell you the same thing. Look it up in Strong's, the same thing. They're all written in Hebrew. But when it comes down to those last two words, from it, whenever you look up those two words, they're not written in Hebrew. And this is in the Old Testament. Those two words are written in Greek. And when you look up those two words, what it is from it. And that word right there means alpha. That word, alpha. And it's Greek. It's amazing. I was looking those words up. I like to look them up. I want to know what I'm saying. When I looked that looking those words up, and I came to that word, and there wasn't a Hebrew word for it. Looked it up, and it was a Greek word, Alpha. Alpha. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Here is the absolute proof of our Lord's eternality. God, who cannot lie, declares that none is before him, none is after him. He's the beginning, he's the ending of all things, eternal. Where's your God, David? Our God is in the heavens. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. But let me tell you what this passage of Scripture in closing says. You give a child a new heart. You give them a new heart. You give them a new will. You give them a new love. You give them a taste for Christ. You let them taste that the Lord, He is good. You let them eat of the bread of heaven and drink of the water of life. You let them be taught of God that all of their hope is in Christ. You train up a child in the way that he should go. And it doesn't matter how long he's on this earth. It doesn't matter the trials, the tribulations, the chastisements. And when he's old, he will not depart from Christ. He will not. He's going to be like Peter. When the Lord told that crowd that was following him, when he told them, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's a hard saying. And they departed and followed him no more. And the Lord immediately turned to the disciples and said, will you go away also? He said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from him. I pray God bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Truly, salvation is of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Okay, go ahead.
I remember, being a while ago, calling Brother Marvin. We were talking on the phone. I asked him if he'd ever preach from that verse, and he said, well, I'm getting ready to preach from it in a couple of weeks. And he told me about the outline he had. I said, that is the first time I've ever heard the real meaning of that verse. I'm confident that's the first time I ever heard it. Well, a little while later, we met at a restaurant. We were there eating, and he told me about that, those Greek words and that Alpha. And I just, the top of my head came off. Just, oh, that's it. It's just such a blessing. And I'm thankful, thankful. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that salvation is of the Lord. That's of your purpose. It's of your purchase. It's of your application to the hearts of your people. How thankful we are that our salvation is not up to us earning it or keeping it, but it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, how we thank you. And Father, I beg of thee that you would give each of us who are gathered here this evening, that you would give us a heart for the gospel, that you give us a heart, a taste, to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ, to hunger and thirst after him, to not be satisfied unless we're found in him. Father, bless us with faith. Be gracious to us, we pray. Salvation is of the Lord. But Lord, would you be gracious to us? Would you save us? Would you reveal the gospel to us? Would you save our children? Would you reveal yourself and be pleased to save them? Father, these things we ask and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Jonathan's picked out a good closing song for us, number 124.